John chapter 7 and beginning at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his word. We find ourselves at the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's a seven-day feast. The 7 days the people feasted. And by the way, do you know the Lord, people always trying to make religion hard, trying to make working for God hard. Let me tell you something. God never commanded us but one fast in the Old Testament a year. Just one time. That was on the Day of Atonement when they offered up the sacrifice for sins. All of the other things that God gave us were called feasts. They were times of getting together, being together, worshiping together, and having food and drink and family time as well as worship time. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted 7 days. And every day that went on, they offered sacrifices, but the people gathered at the temple or wherever they could. And on that day, the priest would go to the Pool of Siloam with a golden pitcher and dip it in the water and walk across the front of the temple and pour out the water as an offering to God. It represented the rain that was going to come down and bless our crops. It represented the Spirit of God that was going to dwell within us. And as the priest would walk over and pour that out, and then the people would go home. The only thing was, they went home every day, they celebrated with water, but nobody got a drink. Nobody ever got a drink of it. It was just poured out. But this day was different. There was a preacher there from Nazareth named Jesus. And Jesus was standing in the crowd. In fact, as he missed the first 3 days of the feast, and it was on the fourth day before he got there. And when this day came, they were all gathered and they were all worshiping. The last day, every day the priest had poured out the water, and every day people went home thirsty. I'm sorry to say that's the way it is in a good portion of the churches in America today. The people gather, the water's poured out, but everybody goes home thirsty because no one is given a drink of the water that they need for their souls. And Jesus saw what was going on. And when the priest went across with the pitcher of water to pour it out, he stood up among all of the crowd and raised his voice among all those thousands of people, literally, that were gathered there. And he said, "If any man is thirsty," every soul there was thirsty. Every sinner there, unsaved and without knowing God, was thirsty, dependent on the sacrifice of an animal to placate the wrath of an almighty God. And as Jesus cried out, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and let him drink." And what's going to happen? Well, when you get a drink, hallelujah, your thirst is quenched. You get a drink, your thirst is taken care of. But there's something else that's going to happen. When you get a drink of this water that he's talking about, it's going to quench your thirst. But it's also going to produce in you rivers, not river, but rivers, plural, of living water. When you get a drink of the Holy Spirit in your life and fills you like it should, everybody around you is going to be touched by it. Your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, your fellow workers. If the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is living and dwelling in your heart and in your life, My friend, it's going to flow out of you. It's going to run out of you. It's going to try to get out of you. And Jesus said, if you'll come and get this drink, if you're thirsty, I'll assuage your thirst. But I'll also create rivers, not one river, but many rivers of water to run out of you. And you know what he says it's going to be? It's going to be living water. And you say, well, what's the difference in living water? In other words, other water. Let me tell you something about this, my friend. For it to be a river, it has to be moving. There's no such thing as a river that's not moving. It doesn't exist. And you say, well, it may not move. Like, let me tell you something, folks. If it's just in one place, it's a pond or a lake at the very best. But it's not a river. For it to be a river, it's got to be flowing. It's got to be running. It's got to be going somewhere. It's kind of like people say they love somebody or they're in love or something. Let me tell you something, folks. Love is a verb, not necessarily a noun. Love, when it's really love, is moving. Love is doing something for you. The Holy Spirit, when he comes into you, does not come in to be a pond or a puddle, because that's about what it amounts to sometimes in religion, is a puddle. It doesn't come in just to be a puddle, doesn't come in just to be a pond, doesn't come in to be something there. It's living water. It's flowing. It's coming out. It's moving all the time. And brothers and sisters, Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, and it goes on to say, and he said this of the Holy Spirit, for it was not yet given. Now, let me stop right there and tell you something. The Spirit of God was not invented in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit of God has always been. There's never been a time that there wasn't the Spirit of God. But there has been a time in history when human beings were not filled with the overflowing of God's Spirit. God wants His Spirit to be in you. God wants His Spirit to be in your life, and He wants it to have sway in your life, to influence you. Delbert, the Spirit of God was in Courtney's prayer. The Spirit of God was in Steve's prayer. The Spirit of God was there. And brothers and sisters, when God moves in your life, it's not going to be a puddle. It's not going to be a pond. It's not going to be a lake. My friend, it's going to be a flowing thing. It's going to move. And you know what? What happens when water begins to move? It begins to move everything around it. Ezekiel saw a river running out from under the door of the temple in Jerusalem. And he looked, and everywhere that river went, that flowed out of the temple, you know what was? Everything lived. Trees, bushes, flowers, vegetables, whatever, along that river began to grow and to live. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost was not invented in the New Testament. The day of Pentecost was not the time that the Spirit of God was invented or came into the world. The Spirit of God has always been there. Any time that God is moving, then it's the Spirit that's moving. And if God is moving in your life, my friend, it will be God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost that's moving in your life. You see, when God created, and don't you just love Genesis 1, chapter 1, and 2, and 3? Oh, the devil hates that. He don't want to admit that God is our creator, and therefore we are responsible to him. Brothers and sisters, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But what happened? God spoke. You see, the world was dark and covered with gases and clouds, and there was no land. It was just liquid and gas. That's all the earth was. And yet God spoke, and when God spoke, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And you say, well, how did this happen? When God began to speak, and when God's word begins to speak, what happened? The Spirit of God began to move. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. You know what the word is there? It's the same. I don't know how many of us are country folks enough to have ever had an old hen that was a setting chicken, old hen that was setting on eggs, and they all cracked out and little bitties came out. And it's one of the sweetest little things you ever saw is an old hen going through the yard a-clucking and a little chickens going along yellow, you know, with their little new fuzz behind her and she taking care of. And you say, well, what's this have to do with this? I'll tell you what, whenever anything happens that's bad, whenever anything happens that's not good, old mother hen begins to cluck and she ruffles up her feathers and she sticks out her wings like this and she starts to squat down. But before she settles onto the ground, all these little chickens come running and they run right under her wings. Do you remember the old song, Under His Wings, I'm Safely Abiding? You remember that old hymn? Well, that's where it came from. And my friend, that old hen ruffles up her feathers and sticks out her wings. And the scripture tells us that we are under His wings. The scripture tells us that He covers us. The word is to brood. And that's what happened when God said, let there be light and let there be dry land and let there be trees and all the things He said. What happened? It was the Word of God spoke and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God came and hovered over the earth and encircled the earth and brought forth life forevermore that we know it today. Isn't God a marvelous God? And people read the scriptures and go through the Old Testament. This is, what, 4,000 years before the day of Pentecost. And brothers and sisters, God's Spirit was moving. It's always, God is a spirit. Some great theologian said that. His name was Jesus Christ from Nazareth. Talked about that. And brothers and sisters, God's Spirit moved. When Samson, we say, boy, he was really strong. He was really strong. But he wasn't really strong enough to pull the gatepost out of the ground at Gaza and carry the whole apparatus of the entrance to the city off. What happened? The Spirit of God moved on Samson and gave him strength and power to do that. Well, when Jesus came to the earth, He promised them, the Holy Ghost is coming. The Spirit of God is coming. And when He comes, He's going to fill you. Fact is, He said, after that the Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive. And the Greek word He uses, dunamis. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. My friend, a Christian without the Holy Ghost, well, I don't think that actually can be, that you can actually be a Christian and not have God's Spirit in your life. You may not have the gifts of the Spirit like you should, but you cannot be saved without the Spirit of God is in your life. And He says, in fact, as He said, without my Spirit, you're not any of His. You must have the Spirit of God in your life. You say, well, we don't have any control of the Spirit. Oh, my friend, you say you're not big enough to control the Spirit. No, but God has put it in your hand to decide whether or not you have the Spirit of God in your life. And you say, well, how do you know? Because He says to them in the New Testament, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you didn't have the power to be filled, then He wouldn't have told you that. But you have the power to open the doors of your heart and to get the Holy Ghost to come into your heart. You have that power. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the great thing was on the day of Pentecost, that's the day the Spirit came. Jesus had been glorified. John's always amazes me. We talk about glorification. We talk about being glorified and whoopee! What a great thing it is. We're going to be covered with power. We're going to be covered with the Spirit. When John speaks of Jesus being glorified, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about that awful time he had in Gethsemane. He's talking about that awful time he had when he went through Pilate's judgment hall and Caesar's and all the things he went through with, And they beat him and they mocked him and they treated him so bad. And they took him out and they nailed him to a cross and hung him up between heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, he calls that Jesus Christ being glorified. And you say, I don't see how there could be any glory in that. I'll tell you how it is. My friend, when he hung on that cross and that blood spilled down the old rugged cross, my friend, the sins of all men were paid for. The sins of Adolf Hitler, the sins of Mussolini, who could not say how bad? The sins of Biden, the sins of Putin, they've all been paid for. You may not like them, you may not like it, but my friend, Jesus Christ has paid for the sins of the whole world. Any that have been committed, any that are being committed, and any that will be committed. The price has been paid for sin. And my brothers and sisters, you can't make it by yourself. Jesus knew that you couldn't make it. And he said, I'm going away. And he's going to be glorified. And then he's going away. And they're saying, oh, but you can't go away. We can't make it without you. He said, if I don't go away, you won't receive what you need. I'm going to the Father. Fact is, he's going back to heaven. He lets us know that he's already been in heaven. No man has ascended up to heaven save he which came down from heaven. And Jesus Christ, my friend, has ascended to glory. For what? What's the first thing that he did when he got to heaven? 10 days after he ascended, what did he say? I'm going to get there and I'm going to have a big old time. I expect so, my friend. I can't imagine what it was like in heaven when Jesus Christ, with his nail print hands and feet, with his prints of the thorns in his head, I can't imagine what it was like when he ascended off of Mount of Olives, walked across the Milky Way, and opened the door of heaven, by the way, and left it open, and opened the door of heaven and walked up before the throne of the Almighty. I can't imagine. Do you reckon the angels could speak? Do you reckon they folded their wings? Do you reckon they all shouted? Did they know what to do? Did anybody in heaven know what to do when he came? But my friend, when Jesus came from the hill of Mount Olive outside of Jerusalem and landed on the streets of glory and on the crystal sea before the throne, what did he do? He asked, he said, I will pray. You know, old people used to say, I pray thee so and so. And he means, I'll ask you. And he said, I will pray the Father that he will send you, what? Another helper, another comforter. And said, he'll be with you. And when he comes, he's going to give you power. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. All these things. My friend, what's it going to be? It's going to be rivers for those people who are saved and those people who are filled with the Spirit. There's going to be rivers of living water flowing out of them. My friend, everywhere you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, rivers of living water are going to be flowing out of you for other people to drink from. You're not the only one that's going to get your thirst quenched by the coming of the Spirit. But when the Spirit comes in you, then everybody around you can drink from the water that's flowing out of your life. My mother said when she was a girl, the Pentecostal people came to Clendenin and a great revival of the Spirit of God broke out here in the community. And Mommy said, the thing that convinced me was when I went to that little church down there and they lit the little lamps and they all set up and started singing. She said, I looked up at those people that I knew from that community standing there. Said one of the ones, Ray, would have been your grandmother that you never knew, I don't suppose, Nellie. Said one of the things that convinced her and some other people's grandmothers too, come to think about it. She said, I looked up there and said, there, Sister Rice had all of that family and all of the burdens she was carrying and doing it. And, you know, Henry wasn't saved and they had a struggle. And Mama said when she looked up there and they were all standing up to sing, said their faces just looked like they shined. Said their faces just like looked like they were glowing with the power of the Holy Ghost. And God touched those people's lives. You see, my friend, if you get a good drink of this water, you're going to give your children a drink of the water too. You're going to give your neighbors a drink of the water too. My friend, if we could get a good Holy Ghost-filled person in every community, what a change it would make in the world and in the homes and in the lives of people. My friend, if He comes to you, He's coming, and you're going to get a drink. You're going to get your thirst taken care of, but my friend, you're also going to give to the world around you the living water, not pond water, not lake water. No, my friend, living water. Water that's running, water that's going somewhere, water that's moving things and giving life to everything about it. My brothers and sisters, I've come to tell you this morning that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my friend, is for you. You see, the Bible speaks of the Spirit of God as being wind and water. And the Spirit of God is spoken of as being so many good things, if you think about it. And all of those things are things that have power in them and that are working. And you say, well, I don't know if that's for me or not. I'll tell you what the Bible said. He said it's for you. Those are His very words. Said it's for you. It's for your children, for your neighbors, for your friends, for them that are far off. And my brothers and sisters, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Isn't that what He said? As many as the Lord our God shall call. My friend, I'm so happy to hear you when you speak in tongues. I'm so happy to hear you when you raise your voice and rejoice in the Lord. I'm so happy when I hear you clap your hands and stomp your feet and hear your feet are running in the Spirit. I remember going to see Sister Nellie Mooney when she was dying, and she had called that I would come out there. She never realized how far it was from here to Lookout, West Virginia, but I always went. And I went that day, and she said, you know, Brother Eddie, what I've been hearing this morning? I said, no, ma'am, what have you been hearing? She said, you remember before we had electricity? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, and the people would start worshiping, and I could hear their feet dancing on the hardwood floors in the church. And said, I've been laying here this morning listening to their feet dancing on the floor. My friend, somebody got a drink of living water somewhere, didn't they? Somebody got a drink of living water. Somebody got something from heaven, my friend, and it spread. And she was rejoicing in hearing their feet, even though they were long gone, dancing on the floor. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, it's for you this morning. You say, well, I've never had an experience with the Holy Ghost. Then I would suggest you pray and seek the face of God. Now, let me tell you, you don't have to be in a church house or with a bunch of people to receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be with anybody. You can touch God in your bedroom, in your living room, in your car, in the woods. My friend, God's Spirit can come on you. I wasn't sure that I needed all this kind of experience when I became a Christian. Oh, it's all right if Grandma did it and Granny Effie did it and Mommy did it. That was fine, but I didn't necessarily need to. And then as I read God's Word, and as I began to look in the Word of God, I realized that I needed the living water that He had for me. There used to be a big old horse barn, do you remember? In front of the Celanese, set up against the hill. Great big old barn. They stored grain in the top of it for a long time. And I used to climb up in that place and pray. One Sunday afternoon, I climbed up in that barn and I began to pray till the glory come down. I didn't know what to do. I thought I was going to be paralyzed. Holy Ghost came down and came all over me and filled that barn up. And I thought sure I was going to go because I was just in the Spirit. But came that day, that wonderful day, that I was convicted and convinced that I needed the same Pentecostal experience in my life as the apostles. Hey, if it was good enough for the apostles on the day of Pentecost and the women that were there, men and women both received it, do you realize Mary, the mother of Jesus, who had carried the Savior in her womb, received that Pentecostal blessing that day too? She was in that crowd. And I realized that I needed God's Spirit in my life. And I went forward down here during a revival in August of 1961. And I got down on my knees, and with everything in my heart, I asked Him to let the Holy Ghost come into my life. And you say, what happened then? I don't know. You say, why? Because sometime later, I came to, and I had passed out in the floor. And Hank Lucky Dew was kneeling on one side, and Curtis Wright was kneeling on the other side, looking at me. And I realized that when I came to myself, that I had been filled with the living water of heaven. And I thought, I'll just praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost. And I put my tongue to my teeth to say, thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I couldn't speak in English anymore. I was speaking in some other tongue, in some other language. And I, after a while, decided I'll try to thank Him again. And every time I tried to thank Him, every time I went out in the Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And you know what? I finally got up out of the floor and walked around the altar. He used to go around like this down there. And I heard Granny Effie say, do you think you got it now, son? And I meant to say, yes, ma'am, I've got it. What I said was, yes, I've got it! And fell over the altar. And you say, what happened? For 3 weeks after that, nothing happened. I prayed night and day. Nothing happened. And old Satan said, you sure didn't make a fool of yourself over there in that church in front of them people that night. You sure did carry on a sight over there in the floor, carrying on like that. And you know what? I climbed a hill behind the house. And when you get up there where the phone line crosses, there's a cliff up there. And about as far from here to that speaker is a great chasm goes down. You can't go in it. You have to jump over it to get on a piece of the rock that's out there. And I climbed out on that rock and I determined I would pray through to glory. And I began to pray. And the glory came down. No, there wasn't any preacher there. There wasn't any crowd there. There wasn't anybody hollering or yelling or playing music. Just me and Jesus on that rock up in the woods. And the Holy Ghost came down and the water flowed out. And the Spirit began to speak. And it spoke and it spoke, and after a while the glory left, but the tongues never left. And I walked down to the house, walked around behind the chicken lot and down by the smokehouse and to the yard, still speaking in tongues all over the yard. He was there. And you know what, my friend? He abides. Hallelujah. He abides. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. He abides, hallelujah, He abides. You need the Holy Ghost in your life. You need to have a prayer life. It's wonderful for the Spirit to manifest Himself here in the church. It is. But my friend, you need to have a spiritual walk with God at your home. You need to have in your personal prayer life the flowing of living water from heaven. Amen. Father God, I want to thank You today for all of Your blessings that You've poured out upon us. I want to thank You for Your mercies and for the truth of the gospel. Lord, I want to thank You for the Holy Ghost, for the living water that's come down from heaven, the same power that quickened the body of Jesus Christ in the tomb, the same power that brought life to to a lifeless planet. I pray, God, that your spirit, your power, your grace will be upon your people. And Lord, as your people pray today, and as they walk with you, can this congregation, please, Jesus, be a spirit-filled congregation where the joy of the Lord and the living water of the Holy Ghost can be felt, seen, and heard at all times. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, to whom we give praise forever. Congregation said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
All right. God bless you today. Brother Earl, and he's going to be in charge of the altar service, and we invite you to come to the altar today and be filled with the Spirit and let God's Spirit have you. I desire your prayers, because I'm going to be leaving almost immediately for Beckley to speak at a funeral and to take care of the funeral.